From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. First of all, some great news if you live out there in the San Francisco area. Welcome, affiliate KKSF, News Talk 910 AM in San Francisco. Great to be part of the family, new affiliate there. By the way, we've got a link for you at coasttocoastam.com where you can click their link. They're taking comments. Those of you who are longtime Coast to Coast fans, just tell them how much you appreciate what they've done. It's a great station. It's growing, and we're going to participate in that growth, and that's exciting. Next hour, the search for the Ark of the Covenant with William Henry, followed by Reincarnation and Past Lives with MJ Rose. We've got lots for you. And in a moment, we're going to be talking about that disaster off the coast of California, radiation-tainted tuna, and what does that mean to us and our health? The Bilderberg Group has launched an unprecedented security crackdown on the eve of tomorrow's secretive confab of global power brokers, with guests at the Westfields Marriott Washington Dulles Hotel being intimidated by the talk of machine guns and high-tech surveillance, and they mean business there. Surveying the scene at the hotel today, Alex Jones reports that it's a chaotic picture with the Bilderberg security, including a particularly vocal Swedish person, stomping around the building, announcing that machine gun nests were being set up in anticipation of a deluge of protesters arriving over the next few days. Of course, the Bilderberg Group, that power group of elitists out there to manipulate and change the planet. Alex Jones is out there, and he'll be making reports throughout the week, and we'll follow up with him. Children as young as five are being referred for treatment for, guess what? Depression, anxiety. Figures showed mental health teams in the United Kingdom working with more than 1,000 under 18-year-olds, while 232 young people tested were referred for therapy prescriptions with a commonly known drug, you've heard it, Prozac, have risen 26%. A New Jersey father who claims his 8-year-old son was sickened by salmonella-tainted dry dog food is suing the maker of the recalled product in Costco, the store that sold it. The lawyers for the 37-year-old man filed a lawsuit in federal court in New Jersey alleging that products made by Diamond Pet Food Processors of South Carolina landed the infant in the hospital with an infection caused by a rare strain of salmonella. That's the same salmonella strain identified in an outbreak that has sickened so far 15 people in 9 states and another in Canada, according for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And as I mentioned, of course, scientists have found trace elements of radioactive isotopes in Pacific bluefin tuna migrating from coastal Japan to the shores of Southern California. We will check in with Dr. Hausman, Marvin Hausman, in a moment about that. The successful sequencing of the tomato genome, they say, will lead to tastier varieties within 5 years, according to scientists. They believe that the elusive flavor of homegrown tomatoes will by then be widely available in supermarkets. Right now, it tastes like cardboard, doesn't it? Mac Wolford, some of you know him, the flamboyant Pentecostal pastor from West Virginia, whose serpent-handling talents were profiled last November in the Washington Post magazine, hoped that an outdoor service that he had planned for Sunday at an isolated park would be a homecoming like the good old days, full of people speaking in tongues, handling snakes, and just having a good time. But it was not the sort of homecoming he saw. Instead, Wolford, who turned 44 the previous day, was bitten by a rattlesnake he owned for 5 years and died late Sunday. It's called the flame virus. But what the heck is it? It's affecting computers. Let's check in with Kevin Mitnick. Kevin, an old-time hacker, he's turned straight, and now he's got great information. Kevin, what is this thing?
Well, this flame worm is, I guess, one of the ultimate cyber weapons. It's a piece of malicious software that targets your computer and basically eavesdrops on everything you're doing. So if you, for example, are in your email or you're doing instant messaging, it's smart enough to capture your screenshots and store it on your computer. And then at particular intervals that will send it up to some secret server sitting on the internet.
How do you know that you have this virus?
You don't know, because it evades every antivirus software on the market. It simply works under the radar. And what's even more scary about this particular piece of malicious code, it turns your computer into a microphone. So if you're using Skype or speaking with somebody in the same room where your computer is located, they could eavesdrop on your audio. They could look at Bluetooth devices that are in your that are very close and gather information from that and monitor information going over your network. It's, again, I would say it's the ultimate cyber spy.
Do we know where it has originated from, Kevin?
We don't know where it's originated from, but a good guess would probably be the United States or Israel.
So it could be coming from here.
It could be. I mean, look at who the targets are. Apparently, they're finding evidence of this malware in the Middle East and North Africa. And you think about, who would be interested in gathering intelligence on these targets. And the first two that come to mind is the United States and Israel.
So you're saying you won't know that you have it. How do you get it?
Well, one way was through getting infected by plugging in a USB stick, or if you're plugged into a local area network, like at a company, it could possibly spread that way. And they're still analyzing this thing to try to figure out other ways that it's propagating and how people are getting infected.
And as of right now, there's no virus protection for this.
There's none. Basically,
unbelievable.
If this monster is on your machine, you're in trouble. And you have to think, George, I don't believe this is the only cyber weapon out there that's infiltrated, business and consumer computers. I think there's actually more going on than we know about, and probably a lot more malware is out there that needs to be found.
Kevin, keep us on top of this one, okay?
All right, George. Have a great night.
All right, Kevin Mitnick. Kevin, by the way, went to jail many years ago. He is one of the world's most famous reformed hackers. And now what he does is he consults for business and government. And, he called us today and said, you guys know about this flame virus? And I went, what flame virus? And here it is, truly amazing and seriously unbelievable. In the United Kingdom, police and paramedics were called out to reports of a man, he was covered in blood, staggering close to a canal, only to find out he was filming a zombie movie. The incident happened as around 30 actors and extras were made up as zombies on the last day of the five-day shoot. Okay, we're going to talk about the U.S. tuna supplies tainted by the Fukushima radiation. Up next, Dr. Marvin Hausman joins us. We'll talk with him about this. Take your calls later on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Dr. Marvin Hausman received his MD degree from the New York University School of Medicine, a board-certified urological surgeon. His 30 years of drug development, clinical care experience at various pharmaceutical companies, president of the Northwest Medical Research Partners, and a frequent guest here on Coast to Coast. Marvin, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good evening.
Okay, so tainted tuna, it's got radiation in it, making its way from Fukushima. What does this mean to us?
Well, the disaster occurred on March 11, 2011. We're into May 2012. It's amazing. While the world was waiting for everything to float over here, these large fish, which people didn't expect, have been plowing through the ocean very quickly and bringing the nuclear material to our seashores.
Marvin, how do we know that the tuna is from the Japanese area and is directly related to the Fukushima radiation problem?
Oh, very good question. Because these bluefin tuna are different than other types of tuna, like yellowfin. Yellowfin is normally off the coast of Washington, Oregon, and California, and we can test those, and they didn't have any cesium-134, 137. The bluefin tuna reproduces off the coast of Japan and migrates quickly eastward to the coast of California and Oregon. And so what the people back east who are experts in this, when they noted that cesium-134 and 137 were in the meat of the bluefin, they took a look at yellowfin, and they had no radiation. The other thing, which is quite compelling in terms of telling us, is that cesium-134 and 137 can only pre-produce from nuclear reactors or a nuclear explosion. It's
okay.
From fission.
And they've got cesium in it, in the fish. There's no doubt. Now, scientists are saying, okay, so this only have about one-tenth of the level that we're concerned about that we would think could be dangerous. Only one-tenth. Not to worry. Is that true?
Well, a lot of things the government tells us not to worry, I worry. They've been wrong how many times, George?
Many.
I mean, they told us that 40 international units of vitamin D is enough for children, and now the Institute of Medicine tells us 400. They told us that autism was nothing to worry about. Now we have an explosion of autism in our society. Some people even think it's a vitamin D deficiency. Now, if you think that cesium and radioactive material is not important, I think it is important. It may not be that eating tuna should be, you know, just stopped. But you have to consider that this is environmental, and the handwriting's on the wall. It's telling us that there are many other problems in nature. When you eat tuna, it may not be the cesium. Maybe it's the mercury.
Maybe it's the mercury. And we know that a lot of tuna has high contents of mercury.
Absolutely. And what we're now understanding is that diseases like Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, autism, even aging is due to the release of free radicals in your body. And those free radicals kill your cells. So even if you had a small amount of cesium, it is producing a small amount of free radicals. The mercury is producing more free radicals. And you just keep adding on and on and on until you have, you know, mutations of your chromosomes and have cancer.
We're going to have to buy Geiger counters and just run it over the fish when we eat it.
Yes, but on the other hand, you won't pick up the mercury because the mercury is not radioactive.
That is so true. Now, if you eat something, tuna, that is radioactive, physically, what could it do to you?
Probably nothing, because what it's going to do is it's going to disseminate in your body. And so the small amounts that are in the meat, if you eat sushi, as you digest it, the molecules and the products are broken down. And so they move throughout your body. I think you'd have a hard time thinking of anything negative from eating one meal of sushi with cesium-134, 137. You'd have to eat a ton of tuna over a year, I think, to build up any significant amounts. Now, you have to keep in mind that cesium-137 has a half-life of 30 years.
So it could stay in your system for 30 years, right?
Yes.
Wow. And who knows what the long-term effect could be then?
Right. And we don't know that about many products in our environment. And we know that only less than 20% of diseases, we used to say, oh, your parents have Alzheimer's disease, you're going to get Alzheimer's disease. It's not true. 80% of most diseases are environmental. And I think this is a very important lesson that we're learning, is that we had total disregard after Fukushima. We thought we'd only look at floating debris, and here these fast migratory tuna have brought it quickly to our shore before even the debris has arrived on our shore.
And they're going to apparently start testing the albacore tuna, sea turtles, sharks. Who knows where else this could show up?
It's just the tip of the iceberg, George.
I think so, too. I want to get your reaction, Marvin, before we take phone calls after the break, to the story that came out of the United Kingdom about depression in young kids as well. I mean, you've had experience working for drug companies. They say that there's a 26% increase in taking Prozac, and that these kids, 5 years old, are depressed. First of all, what do they have to be depressed about at 5 years old?
Yeah, I think they're over-medicating. I think they're overreacting. It's the same way of our troops coming down, coming home with post-traumatic stress disorder. We hit them with Prozac. They're depressed. They're going to commit suicide. I think medicine is very reactive, not proactive. And suddenly they see a process and they hit it as hard as they can with chemicals and drugs, and I've been with the drug industry for years, I believe there's other ways of looking at it. I think depression, and there was a recent article out of University of California, San Diego, which says that depression is an inflammatory reaction, that it's free radicals that are in your body. These inflammatory molecules are hyper-exciting your nerves, and you seem depressed. And what you really have to do is take, you know, antioxidants and other compounds that can relax your nerve endings. And hitting someone with depressants is not the answer.
No, not at all. And Marvin, is it possible that these kids, these little five-year-olds, are witnessing things at the family level? Their parents are upset. The parents are stressed out. And so they, too, get depressed that way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you think about excitotoxicity of your nerve endings, your body, the brain communicates with your heart, with your nerves, and so in your immune system. So you see things going on around you, your body is reacting, and I think depression can be an inflammatory reaction.
What's new in the world of medicine? Anything that you're picking up these days?
Oh, absolutely. We just did a study at Harvard Medical School on Parkinson's disease using antioxidants from whole foods. And the results are quite exciting, that we think medicine has forgotten about our hunter-gatherer history, in which our ancestors ate tubers and roots and mushrooms and not chemicals, not processed foods. And we're seeing a tremendous reaction in these inflammatory disorders like Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. Also, diabetes seems to be an inflammatory autoimmune reaction, that your body is reacting against high fructose sugars, against processed foods, and your body, by reacting against these sugars, causes insulin resistance in your kidneys and your liver. And then your pancreas tries to overproduce insulin and fails. So medicine is taking a new look now. I think the old look is going to be thrown out.
Marvin, every day I take a turmeric capsule, you know, with curcumin in it.
Yes.
Which minimizes radiation, inflammation, maybe radiation too. It seems to be working on me.
Well, this is something we're studying. Turmeric is a very potent antioxidant. It neutralizes free radicals, and we're doing studies on turmeric from India, curcumin. But I believe in the whole food. I think if you're going to want to take turmeric, that's the way to go. Don't take the extract called curcumin. You want the whole food.
The whole thing.
Taking vitamin C, take the orange.
Absolutely. Okay, getting back to this tainted tuna. And this supply then, so we're seeing this coming over from the seas of Japan. It's making this way. If the fish breed with other fish, could that be a problem too?
Probably not, because what's going to happen is you're going to have the diffusion of the radioactive material into the offspring. So it's going to the concentration is going to minimize just by the procreation. What you have to worry about are the new tuna that are procreating off the coast of Japan. Remember that they've released all this fissionable material into the water. I think they released about 11 tons of radioactive waste into the water around Japan. I don't think we've seen the end of this. We're just seeing the beginning of it.
I think you're right. We truly are. Marvin, if people want to follow you, track you, what's your website?
It's www.entiabio.com. We're a biotech company that is focusing on food science. What I'd like to tell your audience is that Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, which unrelated to our company, Dr. Snyder, published an article approximately a year and a half ago that showed that certain products from food could neutralize radiation, could neutralize what we're worried about in cesium-137 and 134. And those products are found in mushrooms, and one of those products is an amino acid called ergothionine. And ergothionine protects your mitochondria, your powerhouses in each cell that keep you alive. And you don't want to have your chromosomes mutate within your mitochondria. And ergo, from a food, can protect you. I go to sleep at night feeling real good that I take mushroom products to protect my mitochondria.
Yeah, well, and they work.
Your audience with mitochondria.
They're loaded with vitamin D, aren't they?
Yes, they are. In fact, mushrooms are the only source of the fungal kingdom is the only source of vitamin D2. Your skin produces D3, so when you go out in the sun, it's a protective. Again, here's a very interesting concept. UV radiation is negative. Your skin produces D3 to protect against UV radiation. The mushroom grows in the ground. When it comes up to procreate, it wants protection against UV light.
Let's talk more about that, Marv. Yep, D2 it is. Let's talk about that and take phone calls with you on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Dr. Marvin Hausman. We'll take your calls in just a moment. Marvin, you were talking about vitamin D. And so vitamin D3 you get from sunlight, of course. You can also get in supplements. How important, then, is the D2 that you say you get from mushrooms?
We did an experiment at the University of Texas in Galveston. You can take the human gene and put it into, say, the brain of a fly, the fruit fly called Drosophila. The fruit fly then develops Alzheimer's disease. You can do this in a mouse. It's called a mutation, transgenic mutation. So we created a transgenic Alzheimer fruit fly, and we took pure D2 from Sigma Chemical, pure D3 from Sigma Chemical, and then we enhanced D2 within a food, the mushroom. And we found that D2 and D3 were ineffective in preventing Alzheimer's disease, but vitamin D2 inside the whole food decreased biologic death by 30%. So our take on this is that you have different receptors in your body to D2 and D3. And we're working on creating the same medical foods for Parkinson's disease, for Alzheimer's disease, and even for depression. If depression is an inflammatory disorder like Parkinson's disease, this is very important. Now, the Canadian government, and this is very important for your listeners, came out with a study approximately a year ago where they showed that 16.1% of the death rate in Canada in 2005 was due to vitamin D deficiency, both D2 and D3. And that's an economic impact of almost $14 billion, a death rate of 37,000. That's independent of anything we've worked on, and that's Health Canada making those statements. Vitamin D is probably one of the most misunderstood and important vitamins. And it's not a vitamin, it's a hormone. Because if your body can produce something, it's not a vitamin. The definition of vitamin means something your body can't produce.
Good point.
Vitamin D is very important.
PSA blood tests, some controversy about that for prostate exams and tests. What do you think?
I disagree. I think PSA is very important. I think that people are trying to save money. I mean, what does a PSA test cost? $30? And if you discover it, and they tell you, well, the statistics don't equal the cost. Well, if you're that one person that's saved by a PSA elevation, it's very important to you. And I think you have to look at life as an experiment of one.
All right. To the phones we go. We'll go west of the Rockies, Tom, in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Thank you, George. Doctor, thank you so much for doing this show. I had a couple of questions for you and a quick piece of news. I'll go off air. One, I had heard from reports that were done in Texas a month before Fukushima about all the EPA underreports the radon and radiation in America's water. And one of the things they mentioned was that Geiger counters don't necessarily pick up radiation that could be harmful to you in water or food. And they're saying that it's cumulative with other forms of radiation, where they say one out of 15 homes is actually over the safe allowable limit of radon, and that's cumulative with the radiation. So I was wondering what your opinion was on that, because my thought was if people started checking their homes across America, they could reduce total exposure. The other was with this virus that George Norrie was talking about, the flamer. You would be immune to that if you're surfing live on a thing like Nopix, Mepis, or Backtrack 5. If you can surf live on a CD without a hard drive, some blogs will bring it up, like The Art of Whistleblowing. And thank you much. I'll look forward to your answer.
You're welcome. That virus, we're talking about a computer virus. You don't have to worry about answering that one, Mark.
We just have to improve the immune system of computers.
That's right.
Like the viruses.
Absolutely. Well, what do you think about checking your house for any kinds of radiation, things like that?
I think it's important. I you know, suddenly you hear that there's an increase in pancreatic cancer in a small town in Montana, or you suddenly see six women come down within 1 year of within a 12-block radius of breast cancer. Something's going on, George and Tom. I mean, I think we have to be vigilant, and I think I see nothing wrong with checking your home for radiation.
Next up, first-time caller, Fort Smith, Arkansas. Hello, Mary. Thanks for calling.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Sure, I've been wanting to talk to you all. I guess you can tell I'm from Arkansas.
Yes, you are, but that's okay. It's a great state. Go ahead. Go ahead with your question.
I listen to Coast to Coast all the time, and I can't ever get through. I wanted to know how to spell the doctor's last name and how to spell that last thing that he talked about, that ergo.
All right, you can do that, Marvin, if you want to spell your last
name. My name is Marvin, Marvin Hausman, Hausman. And the substance is called ergothionine, ergothionine, ergothionine. And Dr. Snyder, who's the chairman of neuroscience at Johns Hopkins, had said that ergothionine is a master antioxidant. It's probably one of the most potent cell protectants in the world. Your body can't make it. The only place you can get it is from mushrooms. And we have many articles on our website at EntiaBio, EntiaBio.com, and you could see all the articles on ergothionine. The Germans discovered a gene in your body that carries ergothionine into your cells. It's fascinating that your body can't make this amino acid, but you have a transport system that is asking for it. And this is new research. George says, what's happening the last 2 or 3 years? Well, it's ergothionine, because we have to understand why you can't make it and why your body needs it.
Next up, let's go to Reno, Nevada. Terry, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Terry.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
When you were talking about Prozac, I was given Prozac for pain, and just almost killed me. I started having suicidal thoughts. I lost my job. I couldn't function. It was just horrifying, and it's not me normally. And actually, I'm so grateful for your show, the things that you have, because this was a couple years ago. You had somebody on that was talking about it and the horrible side effects, you know, can have. And so I, you know, called my doctor. I stopped taking it. It took me almost a year to get, you know, back to normal.
Some normalcy, sure.
It's just horrifying to think, you know, if they give that to children. I mean, I know how I felt. It was like you wanted to just get out of your body some way. You know, you just wanted to stop the symptoms that it caused. And, you know, how can a child deal with something like that? I just don't see, you know, why it's still on the market with so many people having, you know, so many problems and suicides and stuff. It's,
why do these things, Marvin, stay on the market?
Well, that's a $64 million question, George. I mean, for example, you have 10 beta blockers for high blood pressure, 10 ACE inhibitors. Why do you need more than one or two? It's a commercially driven market. Prozac is on the market because of the commercial attributes of this. I mean, it's one of the top-selling drugs. It has terrible side effects. It's overused because it's very easy to write a prescription when you don't know what to do for the patient. You might as well just give Prozac. As I mentioned earlier, the returning troops, the suicide rate among the wounded warriors is approximately 18 a day among all military, and they just hand out these pills, like sugar pills. It's not the way to do it.
No, not at all. Racine, Wisconsin. Randy, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How's it going?
Good.
It's been a while since I've been on the show. And this gets the subject close and near and dear to my heart. I had two stents put in 2006, and I'm on no pharmaceuticals, going with the Whole Foods the whole idea of negative oxidation reduction potential things and getting away from drinking sodas and those.
Good. Is that all working for you?
Oh, it works great. I mean, the acidity and all that brings on the internal inflammation, and I got in the heat and all that sort of thing. I was just wondering about this, you know, talking about the tuna. What about all this natural gas they're doing all over the place? And there's a lot of poisons hitting the water from the natural gas exploration, too, that they're doing. There's so many things hitting us, and I just thank doctor here for that thing about the herbal thing. I'm going to check that out. Definitely. I just believe that, you know, the more natural we eat, the better sources we have locally. We're close to Will Allen over here in Milwaukee, you know, and that sort of thing.
No, you have to watch what you eat. And, Marvin, I think that's so critical, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you think about it. We're a processed food environment. If you think back, every physician, including myself, takes a Hippocratic oath when you get your MD degree. Hippocrates in 450 B.C. said, let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food. There was no pharmaceutical industry 150, 200 years ago. Why all these chemicals? Your listener is absolutely correct. Whole foods have the answer. The answer is within our diet. And when you go to bed at night, did you think, what did I eat today that's going to help wake me up tomorrow?
That's right. That's right. Or why do I feel so lousy tonight, right?
Yes.
It's because of your food. Barbara's in Pahrump, Nevada. Hey, Barbara, how are you?
Great, George. How are you doing?
It's okay.
Just a quick question.
Sure.
Back to the vitamin D and also calcium.
Mm-hmm.
My doctor, I just had all my blood work done, and the doctor said immediately I needed to get on at least 1,000 units of vitamin D a day and also wants me to start taking calcium. But which of the two Ds is the best to take? And, or however many there are, and now with the new study I just heard as far as calcium and heart disease.
And heart disease, more heart attacks.
About that?
Yep, sure.
Okay,
do.
These are two very interesting questions. First of all, I could tell you personally, I take both D2 and D3. Your body, from the experiment I told you about Alzheimer's disease, now Parkinson's disease at Harvard Medical School, there are different receptors in different tissues. You need both D2 and D3, so I take both. As far as calcium is concerned, calcium needs to go into your bone for osteoporosis, to strengthen your bone. In women with hormone changes, you get weakened bones and osteoporosis. The thing you have to be careful with is that you don't want it to overtake calcium because the vitamin D is going to drive the calcium into your bone. So if you take a normal vitamin that has calcium in it with the standard amount of vitamin D that goes with that calcium, you're okay. Then if you want to take 1,000 international units of D2 or D3, you're not overloading the calcium. You're only taking the standard amount, but D2 or D3 is not toxic. And there was a study that showed you can take up to 4,000 IUs of D2 and D3 a day, not both combined. You don't want to take more than 4,000.
That's too much.
Yes.
That's too much. So a little sunlight, too, is good for you.
Oh, absolutely. They say that you can produce 10,000 international units of vitamin D3 in your skin through 20 minutes of total sun exposure. But the key here, and that's what came out of the Canadian study, is that if you go above Atlanta, Georgia, which is 36 degrees latitude north, the sun comes at a more of an angle. So you're not getting your total dose of sun within 20 minutes. And so most people should supplement with D2 and D3.
All right, a few more calls here. Veronica is in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Hey, Veronica, thank you for calling on the Wildcard Line.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
I have a question about the ultraviolet exposure of mushrooms. You can buy them at the store, but my question is on the mushrooms. There's three different types. I watched a special on the cancer program for foods that you can take to limit your chances of getting cancer. There's cremini, there's buttons, or portobello. Which one is the best? For a person that wants to just buy one type, which one is the best? And then they say the ultraviolet exposure at the end of the growing of the mushrooms is best. And you can buy them by the package that way.
Yeah, okay, this is very But these are some good questions here tonight.
We have PhDs
we have an association with a lab at Penn State University in the Department of Food Science. And we study all the different mushrooms, the white button, the brown button, the portobello. We find that they're all good, but the highest concentrations of antioxidants and bionutrients are in the specialty mushrooms, like Pleurotus, which is called King Oyster from Japan, Agaricus blazei from Brazil, a reishi from China. They're all grown here in the United States, and they're all edible. But it's amazing that these mushrooms, which are 200 million years of age, just like the genes may be overlapping, but if you grow in Japan for 200 million years, you're going to have certain bionutrients that are different than a mushroom in China. And we're finding that the combination of these mushrooms can prevent disease. And so our research is leading us to create pills with mushroom powder. The exposure to UV light of a growing mushroom does increase vitamin D, but it's best when the mushroom is in a powder. The surface area is more exposure, the surface area to UV light, the higher the levels of vitamin D.
Marvin, you know, with vitamin D and sunlight, not everyone is able to produce vitamin D from sunlight. Why is that? They should be able to.
Well, first of all, vitamin D is a hormone. It's in your skin. And so when you produce vitamin D as a hormone, it's inactive. It then goes into your body, and your kidney then turns the inactive form into an active. It's called the 25-hydroxy vitamin D, and then that even becomes more active as a 125. So both D2 and D3, D2 from the food, D3 from your skin, becomes 125-hydroxy. And I think it's the conversion that slows you down. That means some people convert better than others.
We go next to Greg in Petaluma, California. Hey, Greg, thanks for holding.
Yes, hi. I've got a question. The man on the news recently who was naked found on top of another man chewing on his face.
Yeah, that was at Miami disaster.
Yeah. Why didn't he ask someone to pass the Grey Poupon?
Oh, God.
No, but, you know, food and sanity have a lot in common. I actually visited with a psychic about 15 years ago, and she did this sort of future projection reading for me. And she said in the future she saw a lot of sort of disintegration of society, and she said based on nutrition. And that really does play a big role if you throw in the GMOs, the pesticides, the vaccinations, all the poisons and toxins that we're being bombarded with. It's going to affect the mood of the planet. It's going to affect people's reactions, their emotions, and it's going to change the flow of society, if you will. So, yes, having vital nutrients that help you, you know, lose the weight and so forth. Also, my sister was diagnosed with Crohn's colitis and ovarian cancer. She's married to a Bavarian brain surgeon. They did research, and they did find that cordyceps, reishi mushrooms and mushroom extracts, wild-crafted in certain formulations, were very effective, and she's now completely cured of both.
Yeah, very interesting you brought that up. We talked about this transport system that the Germans discovered for the substance ergothionine, which only is produced by mushrooms. This gene is high in the Crohn's disease, as if your body wants ergothionine in your intestines to help you cure the disease. There are many chemical messengers that are moving around the body that attack healthy tissues, and one of these chemical messages is called tumor necrosis factor, and it's high in Crohn's disease. And I think ergothionine neutralizes tumor necrosis factor. So what you're pointing out is very important.
Well, it sure is. Let's see if we have time for one more quick call. Sharon in Jackson, Tennessee. Sharon, I've got about 30 seconds for you, so a quick question. Go ahead.
Okay. The correlation between Lyme disease and fibromyalgia.
Well, what do you think, Marvin?
Well, she said Lyme disease, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Lyme disease is an infectious process. Fibromyalgia, they don't think it's infectious. I think both are autoimmune diseases. Fibromyalgia is your body's reacting against your muscle tissue. Myalgia is a symptom of pain or discomfort. Fibro is your muscle tissues. They both have a common endpoint, which is muscle pain. But Lyme disease is an infectious process, while fibromyalgia is more of an autoimmune process.
Marvin, thanks again so much for everything you do and what you contribute to Coast AM. Up next, we have him for 1 hour, only 1 hour, William Henry, as we talk about some of his latest work on Coast AM.